All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. I'm Combo Breaker 99, and this is episode 54. All right, y'all, back with another one, man. These weeks been going by fast. Every time, you know, I do one episode, week goes by, and I'm like, dang, it's time to do another one. Dang, you know, I've just been so busy doing other stuff, you know, life, and, of course, doing other stuff on the channel. But, yeah, just definitely want to thank, you know, my new subscribers on the channel, and definitely, you know, on the platforms I've been posting this podcast on, you know, definitely, appreciate everybody coming through to support. You know, I love talking combat sports, especially WMMA and boxing. But yeah, man, for today's episode, I want to do something different. Something I did a couple of times, you know, since we have some fights coming up and it's kind of a fight overload again for me. I'm going to do this episode focusing on, you know, the fights. I'm going to just do episode focusing on the fights, and I want to do my breakdowns and predictions and, you know, my keys to victories for some upcoming fights. You know, boxing. I'm going to include boxing in this episode this time too, because it's a big match. It's considered a big boxing match. It's not really one I've been dying to see, but I just want to cover some boxing this time because this is kind of a big significant fight for the world of boxing. And yeah, might as well get that out of the way, let y'all know which fight it is. It's Canelo Alvarez versus Billy Joe Saunders. You know, this is a unification for the super middleweight division. And yeah, anytime we have you know, unifications, I want to try to cover them because, you know, we're getting closer to like undisputed champion, which is something we need in the world of boxing. So it is a meaningful fight. So I want to do a quick, you know, cover about this fight between Canelo Alvarez, Billy Joe Saunders, and give you my pick on who's going to win tomorrow. And of course, I'm going to give you my keys to victory breakdown prediction for Michelle Waters, the main event for tomorrow, Michelle Waters and taking on Marina Rodriguez, and Amanda Ibas versus Angela Hill. You know, these are some good fights. You know, I know Rodriguez and Waterson is taking place at flyweight, but it's still going to be a good fight. I'm going to watch it. And Ibas versus Hill, this is a good strawweight fight. You know, this is Ibas' comeback fight, you know, after the knockout loss to Rodriguez. Hill, you know, she's still trying to climb that ladder. You know, she's been one of those fighters that's always kind of been up and down. So, yeah, this is going to be a big fight for her. So, yeah, man, just want to go through these fights real quick with y'all, and, you know, we can just talk about them on this episode. And yeah, definitely want to start getting back on some more boxing, man. That's the thing, man. It's not like I need to get back on boxing needs to get back on boxing. You know, boxing really needs to get back on its game, because right now, you know, the world of MMA, you know, the men, the women, whatever organization it is, they've been really killing it, man. You know, boxing, they've been kind of taking the back seat because there's been so much talk. You know, Twitter wars, diva demands, just so much postponements. There's never really a straight path on what a fighter in boxing wants to do now. It's just all about the money, which I understand that when it comes to boxing. It's about getting your money because you go through hell in the sport. You know, you break your body to please the fans, to get what you want. You go through hell and back. But at the same time, since you are getting these millions, you know, you're getting more than the world of MMA, why not go ahead and satisfy the fans and fight the best, especially when you talk a big game? You know, that's my thing. Like, we have a lot of guys in boxing who talk trash. They say they're the best. Well, if you are the best, there should be no risk. You know what I mean? Like, any guy should get it. Any guy that's considered number one or number two or right under you or calling you out, you should fight him. Now, you shouldn't be trying to take easy fights. There should be no such thing as called easy fights. You know what I mean? Like, for example, you know, everybody wanted Charlo to face Benavidez. There is no risk factor there. There should just be another fight that you should go in there, blow this guy out if you are the best, if you are one of the best guys in the division, you know. That's how I feel about the world of boxing. But with this match coming up here with Canelo Alvarez and Billy Joe Saunders, it's kind of similar, you know, because there's just been so many diva demands and so much talk, and there's just been so much craziness with this fight. Billy Joe Saunders, you know, he's had his demands, and, you know, some people been getting on him, but, you know, Canelo, he has his demands for his fights. He's pushed like a Hollywood star when it comes to boxing. Even though he's not like the biggest star in boxing, he's pushed like a star where he can make his demands, and you have to follow suit, you know. And my thing is, look, everything should just be somewhat on an even playing field. I mean, a champion should get their demands fulfilled, but not to the point where it handicaps another fighter. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a fighter, you should be able to fight in any, under any circumstances. You shouldn't have to try to take away one champion's ability to make it competitive. You know, not that I'm saying, because I'm just trying to be fair here, because I'm not a Billy Joe Saunders fan at all. You know, I'm not a fan of him and his character and how he's presented himself outside of the ring. But I still want to see a good fight between these two. But Canelo, Billy Joe Saunders, it's been a long time coming. This is a fight that's been talked about at 160. It's finally going down at 168, and it's for a unification. You know, Canelo, he has the WBC, WBA belts, where Billy Joe Saunders has the WBO belt. And Canelo Alvarez, as y'all know, he's kind of been going through divisions, scooping up titles. Not the best competition, but, you know, he's been trying just to make a legacy. You know, he just wants to definitely secure Hall of Fame status. Not necessarily fighting the best, I will put that on record. But, you know, he is going out there winning titles. And now, you know, he's won super middleweight, light heavyweight. And now he's making a pit stop at super middleweight, where he plans to become undisputed. This is the division he chose, where he wants to go undisputed. So this fight with Billy Joe is the first fight to move into undisputed. What's the second now? You know, after beating Caleb Smith, he's going to go in there, Billy Joe Saunders, then try to cap the year off with IBF champion Caleb Plant. So, yeah, man, like I said, leading up to this fight, there's just been so much talk. Fight was on, fight was off. This needs to be done. I need this to have the fight done. But now we're getting the fight. A few days ago, Billy Joe Saunders was complaining about the ring. They said Canelo, he wanted the smaller ring, you know, 18 by 18 feet, 20 feet. So Billy Joe, I think he settled for 20 feet or 22 feet. So there we go. That's all we need. You know, let's meet in the middle somewhere. No more diva demands. Let's just have a good fight. Going into this fight here with Canelo and Billy Joe Saunders, I can't help but favor Canelo in this fight, you know, just because I feel like, Canelo Alvarez, not just because he has the judges on his side, but I just feel like Canelo Alvarez has always fought better competition, you know, compared to Billy Joe Saunders. You know, Billy Joe Saunders, he's kind of been in and out. You know, everybody considers him one of the best slick boxers out there. I consider him a slick boxer, but not one of the best, because I just feel like he hasn't really stamped that claim over the past 2 or 3 years now. It's been, 3 or 4 years since that, boxing clinic he put on David Lemieux. So it's not really a fight where we can say that holds weight. You know what I mean? There's expiration date, like I always say. And I feel like Billy Joe Saunders, you know, he'll rise to the occasion when it is a somewhat of a big fight. But, you know, over the last few fights, like Martin Murray, I think that's the guy's name, he fought. And, you know, a couple fights before that, you know, he just kind of went through the motions of being a boxer, just going there, get a paycheck, and be done with it. You know, that's kind of how he does. Canelo Alvarez, like I said, he's fought better competition, but not necessarily the best in the division. You know, like, he chose to fight Kovalev over Beterbiev or Bivol. You know, he went and got Kovalev's belt, fighting Caleb Smith, fighting Rocky Fielding instead of, you know, the Benavidez and the Charlos or Demetrius Andrade. You know what I mean? So now he's finally kind of stepping it up with a slick boxer and Billy Joe Saunders, because this fight here kind of throws him off of his past track record of just fighting guys that kind of plod forward, or guys that just fight backward that don't really throw back. You know what I mean? Going in there with a guy like Billy Joe Saunders, this is going to promote, this is going to give Canelo a different look, and Billy Joe Saunders' style definitely does bring promise to Canelo Alvarez style. So real quick, I just kind of want to go through, and we can just kind of talk about some keys to victory for Canelo Alvarez, and then for Billy Joe Saunders. For Canelo Alvarez going into this fight here, I feel like he needs to go ahead and start applying effective pressure on Billy Joe Saunders. You know, don't give him any room, don't give him any chance to kind of feel him out, or, you know, even win a few, like, win round the early rounds with just like jab and then sticking and moving. Canelo Alvarez just needs to go ahead and start putting his jab in the face of Billy Joe Saunders, to the body, to the chest, start switching levels, and just fight at a good mid-range and control that pressure. Stay at him, cut the octagon, but cut the boxing ring off. See, that's how long I've been, you know, covering MMA now, man. I'm starting to call. I got the octagon on my mind now. The boxing ring almost came out of my mind. See, boxing, you got to bring it back to my head, man. Boxing has to bring it back now. See, look, I almost forgot about the boxing ring. But yeah, man, Canelo, he has to cut the boxing ring off. You know, he has to cut the ring off. You got to stay in the chest. You got to stay in the face of Billy Joe Saunders. This is a guy that uses his legs, so you got to take his real estate away. Take his legs away. Start with that jab and start going to the body, which is my next body attack. You know, you got to go to the body, do those little feints with the jab, go straight with the left hook to the body, and double it up. You know, double left hook to the body, use the right hand to the body, follow with left hooks. You know, Canelo Alvarez, I feel like he's a very good combination puncher. I like his punch selection. You know, when he lets that jab go, he'll follow up, and his punches will just flow. You know, left hook, right hook, and he touches that body good. So body attack is what you need to do to Billy Joe Saunders. Slow him down. Don't give him any chance to start getting into a rhythm. Use his right hand. You know, I feel like Canelo Alvarez has a very good right hand. Billy Joe Saunders, if he does start to get confident and he drops that lead left hand, you know, start, again, switching levels with the jab and start applying that pressure, and then come over the top with that straight right hand, and, you know, see if you can get a reaction out of Billy Joe Saunders. If the right hand doesn't land, that's when you come back with that left hook. And so, yeah, you got to really stay in the face of a boxer like Billy Joe Saunders, similar to how Canelo did in his fight with Arislandi Lara, which was another close fight against a slick boxer. You know, Arislandi Lara, he uses a lot of movement, you know, a lot of unnecessary movement sometimes, so that kind of wears itself out. So if Canelo Alvarez can also make Billy Joe Saunders move when he wants him to, you know, that's another thing about ring generalship, getting the guy to move where you want him to and move in the direction you want him to be, and also use a lot of movement. So if he can get Billy Joe to do a lot of movement, you know, use his legs a lot, you know, and then start landing that left hook to the body like he did on Arislandi Lara, that's going to get him that success, because that's the first thing you want to do with a slick box. You know, take their legs away and get your jab going, and then eventually whenever they start to lose that steam in like rounds 4 and 5, you can put that dog on him. And that's probably my last key for Canelo Alvarez, is, you know, fight on the inside, make it a rough and ugly fight. You know, I feel like Canelo Alvarez, when he puts that high guard up, he can kind of like lean his head on you a little bit, you know, kind of not really headbutt you, but kind of use his head to kind of control you, and then he can start like teeing off with the left hooks and right hooks to the body to break Billy Joe Saunders down. For Billy Joe Saunders, man, he just really needs to be him as far as his boxing ability. I say he needs to go in there and get a fast start against a guy like Canelo, because, like we said, you know, when you're looking at a favorite like Canelo Alvarez, you're already behind maybe 3 or 4 rounds. So you need to go ahead and start fast in these rounds. Don't try to just pity pat or showboat, do any of that kind of crap, you know, and you're not landing anything. You know, you want to go ahead and start throwing some jabs out, good solid jabs, making Canelo have to look for you. You know, use a lateral movement on Canelo, because Canelo has the slower feet in this fight. He has the faster upper body, but his legs are a little bit slow and he can be a little bit flat-footed. So with Billy Joe Saunders, you want to be in and out at different awkward angles, and you want to just continue to circle, but at the same time you still want to keep touching. You want to snap his head back with these jabs. You know, be assertive with your jab. Put some authority behind these shots. You want to snap Canelo's head back so the judges see these shots, and at the same time you want to be gone. So don't just pity pat, because with you land pity pat shots, Canelo disrespects that and he'll walk you down and land his combination. Canelo wins the round. You know, so you got to snap his head back if you're going to do single shots, and then you got to move where he doesn't even touch you at all. So last key for Billy Joe Saunders is just to box. You know, really just do what he does. You know, just box from the outside. Don't use a lot of unnecessary movement. You know, put the combinations together. Stay away from the ropes and just continue to circle Canelo and stay out of his reach. As long as you can stay out of Canelo's reach, you're good. You know, if you're a slick boxer and you stay out of his reach, you're good. Because, like I said, his feet aren't that fast, and he'll stay, you know, he'll kind of stay in that one gear until he gets in close. That's when he lets his combinations go. So if you can just keep him at the end of your jab, if you can just make Canelo follow you and he's not able to cut the ring off, then you're in good standing. You can just stay on the outside and stick and move. So yeah, man, I think this is going to be a decent fight. Like I said, it wasn't one I was really looking forward to. You know, I was trying to see this Canelo Charlo fight, man, but you know, they just could never get that fight to fruition at 160. But you know, I think this is going to be a good boxing match because, like I said, this is going to be a different look for Canelo Alvarez, something he hasn't seen in a while. And for Billy Joe Saunders, you know, he hasn't been in a fight of this caliber ever. You know, he's never been in there with guys like Demetrius Andrade or Triple G. So I think it's going to be a fight that's going to make him really have to step up his game. You know, and this is a level where Canelo's been time and time again. So with that, man, my prediction for this fight, I think this fight is going to go the distance because I think that Billy Joe Saunders, he will stay fluid and he's going to be using a lot of movement in this fight and he's going to avoid getting hit clean. He will get rocked a few times in this fight, I think, if he gets caught on the ropes. But I think he's going to avoid getting caught by those combinations. He's going to roll with a lot of shots, but he will get outworked in some of these rounds. I think he will start to box Canelo early in the first half until Canelo starts to close in and he starts to work that body and slow Billy Joe Saunders down. Because I still think that Canelo, he's a bit more stronger and powerful at 168. So yeah, with that, I think Canelo Alvarez, he's going to win a unanimous decision in this fight. I think he's just going to outwork Billy Joe Saunders. And I think he's just going to keep Billy Joe Saunders moving. Billy Joe's going to try to stick and move, but Canelo's just going to eventually break that body down and just outwork him. But Billy Joe Saunders, he'll make it out, I think, you know, to survive. So yeah, I got Canelo Alvarez winning by unanimous decision. So yeah, man, let's move to the UFC. Let's cover these WMMA fights real quick, and I'll give you my picks for Amanda Ibas versus Angela Hill and the main event, Marina Rodriguez versus Michelle Waters. But yeah, man, let's talk about Amanda Ibas and Angela Hill first. A lot riding on this fight for both ladies. You know, Amanda Ibas, she's coming off a knockout loss to Marina Rodriguez. Angela Hill, she's coming off a, you know, very close, controversial loss, 5-round loss to Michelle Waterson. In a fight, I felt like Angela Hill had pulled out. I feel like she did enough to win the fight. But, you know, nevertheless, you know, they're both down below Waterson and Rodriguez right now, so they got to fight their way back up to the top. You know, I feel like Amanda Ibas right now, she's been in good spirits. She's been getting right back on track. Doesn't seem like the knockout really took her off track a little bit. You know, maybe she just took some time off, worked on some things. And the one thing I do got to say about the knockout loss to Rodriguez, I feel like Ibas just, you know, executed the wrong game plan in there, right? You know, it wasn't like she was exposed or anything like that. You know, it didn't have anything to do with her being overhyped or anything like that. I just felt like she just disrespected the power in the striking of Marina Rodriguez just by her game plan of trying to walk Marina Rodriguez down and, you know, not trying to set up her takedowns, you know. So she walked into the shot, she paid for it, you know. So now she has to fight her way back up. So going into this fight here with Angela Hill, you know, she has a lot to prove, you know, the veteran to Angela Hill. Angela Hill, you know, she's been kind of up and down throughout her career. You know, she's always kind of battled between second tier and third tier with me. And I just feel like she's never been able to reach that top five just because, you know, she's never hit that level up. You know, she's not a fan favorite on the judges' scorecard. So, you know, it's either going to be these two things. You know, she's going to have to become a knockout artist, start sitting down on those shots, or she's going to have to become a submission artist, you know, start submitting people. You know, she can't go the distance anymore, for real. Like, Angela Hill doesn't have that style where she can just dominate like Ioana, you know, that type of power and that type of thump on her shots where she just beats people up, because even though she can touch you, people still keep coming because they don't respect her shots. So Angela Hill has to go into this fight with Ibas and make that approach like Marina Rodriguez did as a striker. You know, she has to go in there and counter and get that respect early from Amanda Ibas. So yeah, my keys to victory for both of these fighters. First, let's start with Ibas. You know, for Ibas, I feel like she has to go in there and just cut the octagon off, because Angela Hill is going to be doing a lot of movement, a lot of lateral movement to get her shots off. So Ibas, she has to be smart with the way she comes in. Don't bull rush. Just cut the octagon off, stay in the chest, stay at a good mid-range, and just continue to cut off Angela Hill's real estate. Don't give her any space to work. When she cuts her off, start going to Angela Hill's body, start landing good kicks, close in and get that clinch work, and you just want to stay in the face of Angela Hill. Don't give her any space to land anything. You just want to stay putting that pressure on to keep Angela Hill on the back foot and make her have to work hard, and just take away the legs and make her use a lot of energy, because sometimes Angela Hill, she can kind of fade in that second and third round. So stay in the face, you know, just cut that octagon off, be smart about it. Next up, use the jab. Amanda Ibas, I feel like she has a good, straight, powerful jab. You know, she can throw it in different ways, different angles. You know, she can use it as a setup to takedowns. She can use it as an offensive weapon, you know, like she did against Mackenzie Dern to set up her nice right hand. So throw that jab out there. Use it as an offensive weapon. Use it as a defensive weapon. Use it as a weapon to get your takedowns, which goes to my last key to victory. Don't waste time. Get those takedowns. You want to take this fight to the ground. Amanda Ibas, she's a black belt in BJJ. You know, her history goes way back. You know, we talked about that. You know, her jiu-jitsu is just off the radar compared to somebody like Angela Hill. So don't waste time. Go into this round, first round, just like you did against Marina Rodriguez. Start throwing that jab. Like I said, stay in the face. And then whenever Angela Hill throws those kicks, boom, get that single leg. Keep the fight down. If it looks boring, fans boo, just keep it there. Stay on top control. Get that ground and pound in. Stay in that side control. Stay in the guard and just work Angela Hill. If she tries to go for that fence, that's when you go in and get that triangle. You try to get that arm bar. So stay on the ground in this fight. Like I said, you want to use those things like cutting the octagon off in the jab if Angela Hill's using a lot of movement. But eventually you want to take this fight to the ground for however many rounds you need, you know, until you get that submission win. So definitely want to stay on the ground and keep it there against Angela Hill. Angela Hill, like I said, going into this fight as a stand-up fighter, she needs to start becoming a bit more aggressive and put a lot more authority on that jab. You know, she has a nice overhand right, but I'd like to see more straight shots from her. You know, she's a very muscular girl. I'd like to see more strong punches from her and not just, you know, quick pity-pat combinations. You know, I want to see her do more damage. You know, last time out against Ashley Yoder, I had a question mark over my head because I was like, man, like, she's dominating and she's doing whatever she wants against Ashley Yoder, but she's not stopping her. Why? You know, I'm like, she's going to the body, she's going to the head, she's kicking, she's teeing off on this taller, longer girl, but why is she not, like, fully being able to sit down on her shots here? Like, she's never even, like, setting up one big accurate shot. Like, is she just like to throw and just keep landing? Like, why is she not trying to get this girl out of there? And that might cost her the fight this time around. So for Angela Hill, early in this fight, when Amanda Ibas tries to put that pressure on and tries to get those takedowns, you want to use angles. You know, angles are your friend. Angles are Angela Hill's friend in this fight. You know, you want to put those angles. You never want to step straight back. You want to use those angles to set up your right hand, good counter shots. And that will score you knockdowns. Like, if you can't hit hard, use these angles to disrupt the fighter's momentum. So whenever, and say if Amanda Ibas does bum rush or come straight at her for a single leg, you want to throw that knee up, or you want to throw that left hook over the top and catch him on the temple, or you want to throw that right hand straight down the pipe at an angle, and it'll usually knock him off balance. You can score some knockdowns that way. So angles are going to be her friend in this fight, just to get out of harm's way, and just so she can score some good counter shots and make Amanda Ibas reset, and so Angela Hill can also reset. So angles are going to be her friend in this fight all the way. You know, never step straight back, never go straight forward. You know, always come in at an awkward angle. You know, land those leg kicks to break Amanda Ibas down and just keep her off rhythm. Next up, stick and move. And by stick and move, you know, you can kind of include this in angles. I want to see Angela Hill, you know, I want to see her in the center of the octagon on the back foot at times, but not on the back foot always. You know, I just want to see her keep control of the center of the octagon and stick and move, you know, just step side to side. You know, keep the jab in the face of Amanda Ibas. Use that timing, you know, land good flurries, you know, stick her and move, but put some, you know, go in there and, you know, put those combinations together and move side to side so Amanda Ibas just continues to have to reset. So those kind of go hand in hand, you know, using the angles and sticking and moving. Because when you stick and move, you know, you don't want to just do a lot of unnecessary movement. You want to move with a purpose, you know, move with the cause. Last but not least, put some respect on those shots. That's why I say with Angela Hill, you got to be a finisher in there of some sort. You know, if you haven't worked on your jiu-jitsu enough to get submissions, start knocking these girls out. And I say put respect on your shots, because you're going to have to get respect of Amanda Ibas. You know, Amanda Ibas, if she can take your shot, you know, she's going to come in there and just say, okay, I can take a few shots. Boom, got it down to the ground, submit you, ground and pound, whatever. So, Angela Hills, you got to go in there and sit down on your punches at times. You know, if you get into the pocket and Amanda Ibas throws that shotgun down, jab straight up the middle, or she throws right hand over the top, you got to start countering. You got to come back with your feet planted and land a good or hard right hand or you need to start really throwing some hard calf kicks and body kicks to really take the wind out of these fighters. I think what her last stoppages were against Arianne Carnelosi and Hannah Cyphers. And, you know, even those fights, they were just stopped. You know, they're stopped by the ref. But in this fight, you know, you need to really do some damage. Put some respect on those shots so Amanda Ibas won't continue to come in your zone, and she'll start to have to think on how to come inside, you know, if you continue to hit her with hard, authoritative shots. You know, so I really want to see Angela Hill sit down on that right hand in this fight. You know, I want to see her throw a hard straight jab up the middle, a good hard right hand. You know, that way you won't have to throw so many flurries, you know, to really fluster the fighter. You know, you can really throw a couple good hard shots, you know, like Joanna does. Even though Joanna doesn't have knockout power, she can throw some good stinging punches, and it makes fighters just stay on the back foot because it's busting them up and it's, you know, hurting just enough to make them say, I don't want to feel that again. So those are the keys to victory for Angela Hill. As far as how I see this fight going, I could see Angela Hill doing well in the first round. I could see her going in there, you know, getting into a rhythm, outstriking Amanda Ibas, because Amanda Ibas might be a little gun shy in the beginning. You know, she might want to see if she could take the power of Angela Hill. She wouldn't want to walk into anything crazy, but eventually if she takes some shots, she will try to get this fight to the ground in the clinch. I can see Angela Hill using her defense to break a couple of times. I can see her winning the first round, very close in the second round. And as she starts to gas, the third round, I can see that's where Amanda Ibas really starts to put some hits together, and she'll start taking this fight to the ground. And I can see Angela Hill, you know, scrambling back to the fence in this fight. Oh, man, this is a really tough call. If I had to pick, since I'm looking at Angela Hill, her veteran skills, I'm going to go with Angela Hill by a very close decision. But if it gets taken to the ground, I can easily see Amanda Ibas submitting Angela Hill as well. You know, if Amanda Ibas doesn't feel the respect from the shots of Angela Hill, she's going to go in there in the first round, and I can see her taking Angela Hill down in the first round and second, and eventually getting the submission win over. But Angela Hill, if it stays on the feet, I feel like she could win. It's a very tough fight to call, but I'm gonna really go with Angela Hill by decision in this one. Let me know, guys, what y'all think. All right, so main event, Marina Rodriguez versus Michelle Waterson. Like I said, this is going to be a good fight. That's all I can tell y'all. I know it's going to be a good fight because, you know, I like the stand-up of Marina Rodriguez. Michelle Waterson, you know, she does come. She put on a good fight. You know, she's a good stand-up fighter as well. You know, I think that the added weight to this fight is definitely going to lead to, you know, some big thudding shots landed by Marina Rodriguez because, you know, she's a tall, slim. She's a tall, long, you know, tall, lanky fighter. But I feel like, you know, this move up to 125 is going to add a little bit more pop to her shots. You know, it's going to add a little bit more pop to her shots in this fight. Marina Rodriguez, right now her momentum is very high at strawweight. You know, at number six, I feel like, you know, she has a lot going for her because she's fought just about everybody for a fighter that hasn't been in the top five, you know. Good names on her resume, everybody from Tisha Torres, Randy Marcos, Cynthia Calvillo, Carla Esparza, Jessica Aguilar. She's been able to grow, and that's one thing I like about Marina Rodriguez, and as far as her movement, you know, as a fighter coming up from a prospect to a contender, you know, I feel like Marina Rodriguez has had different looks, and she's been moved right, you know, and that's kind of what I wanted to see done for Mackenzie Dern, you know, get these different names under your belt and different looks, so by the time you get to top five or top three, you know, you've already been there and done that, you've seen it, and you've got confidence like no other, you know. I think Marina Rodriguez, you know, even before knocking out Amanda Ibas, I feel like she was a deadly fighter, you know. Even coming up short in draws, I feel like she was just a deadly fighter, but the one thing that she just lacks is that ground game, you know, her jiu-jitsu. So she's really gonna have to have that Joanna takedown defense and really build up her physical strength throughout her you know, her run at strawweight, you know, I think, to really, really advance. But yeah, going into this fight here with Michelle Waterson, for Marina Rodriguez, her keys to victory, since, you know, we know who the better stand-up fighter is here and the taller, longer fighter, number one, control the center of the octagon. You know, I feel like Marina Rodriguez, that's where her best work is done, in the center of the octagon. You know, just stay poised, stay ready to strike, stay on the balls of her feet, you know, just control it, just control the distance and just control whatever Michelle Waterson wants to do with her positioning at times. I feel like when she's just positioned and ready to strike, a lot of fighters get her respect. You know, they don't know what's coming. Is it a teep kick or is it a straight right hand down the middle? You know, so I just say control the center of the octagon with your jabs. Anytime Michelle Waterson tries to come in, just stay in the center and counter, bag her back with those, just back her up with those teep kicks, and just stay in the center. That's going to be your home. You know, stay away from the fence. You know, stay away. Don't keep your back to the cage at all. You just want to stay in that center where you can get your shots off and just make your opponent just continue to circle and try to find a way in. Just make the center of the octagon your home. And number two, I got to say, is don't back straight up. You know, you deal with Michelle Waterson, who likes to throw a variety of kicks. You know, she'll go for that head kick in a minute. You know, so if you're dealing with a fighter like that, and they do come inside with the flurry, say Michelle comes in with some flurries, you know, leg kick, a couple of jabs, and goes up with that quick head kick, you never want to back straight up. Or if she comes in with the right hand, you never want to back straight up, because if you do, you'll get caught with that shot, you know, right in the face, or you'll get taken down. If you back straight up against a fighter like Michelle Waterson, you back straight up against Michelle Waterson, she's going to go in for that body lock or going for the double leg and take you down. So never back straight up. Next, number three, the right hand. Definitely set those right hands up, but don't ignore the jab. I feel like at times, Marina Rodriguez showcases her power in that right hand, but I don't feel like she throws the jab enough. You know, she keeps that low left, and she'll kind of counter over the top. She'll flick out the jab every now and then, but, you know, she needs to start popping a jab out more. Good long jab, because she's such a tall, long fighter. You know, against Michelle Waterson, that's going to be effective. You know, pump that jab out, but come over the top with that right hand, and, you know, make that power known, especially if you're going to be at 125. You know, you definitely want to set those right hands up and try to get that knockout, same way you did against Ebos, because I know Michelle Waterson, her being the shorter fighter, she's going to have to try to take chances and rush in. So set that right hand up, have it cocked and ready to go. Last up, own the clinch. Whenever Michelle Waterson tries to go in for those takedowns, try to press you to the fence, start firing off knees and elbows. You know, fire off knees and elbows to get her off you, or just, you know, continue to hit her with those knees until you can either stop her in that clinch, or if you can take her down and you can back up, go right back to your stand-up. So own the clinch. You know, keep those underhooks, keep it in a tight clinch, and just work the knees. Don't let her get anything off. As soon as it goes to the clinch, just start firing off. You know, just start doing the damage so she doesn't get set to use her wrestling, her grappling. So yeah, those are the keys to victory for Marina Rodriguez. Control the center, don't back straight up, use the right hand, and own the clinch. For Michelle Waterson, going into this fight here, you know, this is going to be a little bit out of her comfort zone. You know, I know, like I said, Michelle Waterson probably walks around at like 130 something, you know, whatever, 130 something, 140. But, you know, her being starting off at atom weight, then moving up to straw weight, I feel like this is going to be a tough fight for her. You know, she's a shorter fighter here, and she's just naturally smaller than Marina Rodriguez. I feel like she's going to have to be that fighter to kind of change her style up, be a little bit more aggressive here, and she's going to have to use great timing in this fight. You know, so for Michelle, I'm going to say it again. For Michelle Waterson, not Michelle Rodriguez, but Michelle Waterson, I want to see her, number one, mix it up like she has against some other tall fighters I've watched her against, you know, like Courtney Casey, even like brawling type fighters like Carolina Kovacevic. I want to see her mix it up. You know, I want to see her use combinations. You know, I want to see her go in there, just go, you know, jab, leg kick, or, you know, double leg kicks, one twos. You know, I just want to see her mix it up on Marina Rodriguez, because that's one thing about Marina Rodriguez. Marina, she likes to set up those single hard shots and those single one twos. So if you come in and you flurry her, that'll kind of throw her off her game. So if you can throw good leg kicks, then come over the top, you know, with her over her low left, you can catch her with a good right hand, and then you can maybe catch her with a head kick. Because, you know, like I said, Michelle Waterson, very athletic. She can switch her kicks up so fast from a leg kick, and then next thing you know, she's hitting you with a head kick. So you really want to mix it up against a fighter that likes to stay poised and they're not always throwing. You know, they're just always ready to strike. They're waiting for you to dart in one time. So you got to use a lot of feints, and you got to mix it up, you know, throw low, go low, and then go high, or vice versa. You know, so mix it up with combinations. I feel like Michelle Waterson, that's been her success against fighters like Courtney Casey and Carolina Kovacevic. Next, this is number one, man. I mean, number two, but it should be number one, is take it to the mat. You know, take it down. You know, I feel like Michelle Waterson, even though she is a smaller fighter here, she has the better ground game. Brown belt BJJ versus the purple belt in Marine Rodriguez. So you got to take this fight to the mat. You know, both fighters are the same height when it comes down to the ground. You know, height doesn't matter when you're on the ground. You know, so get this fight to the ground, get into that guard, and just start working. You know, put that extra weight on Marina Rodriguez, start staying active in the guard, you know, let that ground and pound go. Michelle Waterson has some good ground and pound. Let those right hands go, put the elbows in the face, you know, just totally disrupt her rhythm, because Marina Rodriguez, when she's on her back, that's where she's most vulnerable. You know, that's where she's most vulnerable. So you got to make it a very scrappy fight, take it to the mat, and look for those submissions. Next up, if the fight continues to stay standing, I want to see Michelle Waterson land the overhand right. You know, being the shorter fighter, when you go in there against a longer, taller fighter, you got to throw that overhand right. You know, because it's hard to throw a straight right hand down the pipe because your reach is, you know, so much shorter than the longer fighter, right? So you got to come over the top, especially Marina Rodriguez having the low left hand. You want to flick your jab out, use feints, you know, use that lateral movement, and then eventually throw those leg kicks and come over the top with the overhand right. And that's how you really generate power on a taller fighter. You know, you come over the top, and as it comes down, it's going to land with a lot of authority on that that taller fighter. So I want to see the overhand right from Michelle Waterson in this fight. Next, last but not least, be first. Got to be first in this fight. You know, don't fight behind Marina Rodriguez. You let her get into a rhythm, and you let her start picking you apart with those hard shots. You know, it's just going to be all downhill from there. You know, I feel like Michelle Waterson going into this fight, even though it is going to be a five-round fight, you know, you want to be first every round and just kind of disrupt the rhythm of Marina Rodriguez. Never let her get into a rhythm. Don't fight behind her. Just continue to mix it up, throw combinations, and win rounds by getting the takedowns. You know, that's how you're going to get these these rounds, is if you continue to take her down. Don't never ever get her into a rhythm with her striking, because we know who the superior striker is in this fight. So even though she is, be first with whatever it is you want to do. So yeah, after looking at these keys to victory, let's see, and also factoring in the weight, who's going to benefit from the weight more so. If I had to pick, I'm going to go with Marina Rodriguez in this fight. I think, you know, with her size and her height and just her accuracy and her ability to, you know, just land some very hard strikes and just keep this fight at bay, you know, just like she did against Tisha Torres at times, and, you know, had great success against, you know, fighters like Tisha Torres and Cynthia Calvillo. I think that Marina Rodriguez, she can win this fight either by a late round stoppage or unanimous decision. If Michelle Waterson stays tough and stays durable, stays in this fight, you know, she could probably try to survive, you know, win a few rounds with her takedowns, you know, probably like the mid rounds, you know, because that's where she's going to have to be to get a single round, I feel like. I just feel like at times the power is going to be too much from Marina Rodriguez, you know, and I think that eventually whenever she catches up to her, you know, she's just going to pick her apart, you know, she's going to rip her lead leg and, you know, just walk her down and keep the pressure on Michelle Waterson. And eventually, like I said, if she doesn't stop her, she will win a unanimous decision. So, yeah, I'm going to go Marina Rodriguez in this fight by unanimous decision. So, yeah, that's my picks for fight night. Going back to the boxing match between Canelo and Billy Joe, I'm going to go with Canelo by unanimous decision. I'm going to go with Hill, not by unanimous decision, but I'm going to go with Hill by close decision. Or Ebos by submission. Either one of those, man. That's a close one, man. I just can't call on that one, man. That's a 50-50 fight, man. But I'm not for sure about that one, man. It's like one of those two. For Marina Rodriguez versus Michelle Waterson, I'm going to definitely go with Marina Rodriguez, though, by unanimous or late round stoppage in that fight. I feel like her skill is going to, her stand-up skill and her power is really going to show at 125, and she's going to get it. So yeah, guys, that's pretty much all I got on this episode. Like I said, just wanted to go back and do some keys to victory for y'all, and for y'all new listeners, that's how I usually do, even on the channel. I just drop these type of videos sometimes, but want to do a podcast episode as a whole. And I'll be back with another episode, guys. Probably quicker, sooner than later, because you know I just watched PFL last night as well, and you know some things I want to talk about in the PFL world as far as Kayla Harrison, man, which I got a video coming right now. As soon as I get off this episode with y'all, I want to talk about Kayla Harrison real quick. Not really a rant, but just some things that she said that didn't really sit right with me. But yeah, guys, like always, make sure y'all subscribe here to the YouTube channel, Combo Breaker 99. And yeah, go to these different platforms y'all can see here to subscribe to hashtag CB99 Talks. I'm on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, Google Play, iTunes. So yeah, got some new people signing up there and see some people dropping some reviews too for me. I appreciate that. So if you have an iPhone, go ahead and, you know, subscribe, you know, just go ahead and subscribe, you know, support and hit a 5-star review on there. And also just leave a comment about what you think of the show as well. And yeah, do the same if you're on Google Play, Stitcher, or Spotify. Yeah, man. So yeah, appreciate that. You know, everybody that's been coming through. Channel's been growing a little bit more and more. I like it to grow. I like it to grow, you know, more, man. More than what I've seen, though. Because, you know, I just want to continue to keep doing this, guys. But yeah, I'll be back with another episode, guys. And I'll be on live stream tonight. Combo Breaker 99. I am out. Subscribe. Peace.